to cover the short talk this morning. And I have to confess at the beginning, I don't remember the background to this, but about a month ago, I came across a set of questions about traffic speed cameras. And I'm not going to invite Graham to talk about it. But one motorist asked whether it was possible to drive so fast as to outrun the speed camera. And the motor lawyer answered, yes, but speed cameras work up to around 300 miles an hour. So unless you're driving a jet-powered car, the answer is no. And 300 miles an hour is fairly fast. Now, by coincidence, within a few days of that, Linda and I sat down to watch a video we bought some time before in a charity shop, and cheaply, of course, about the life of Donald Campbell, the only man ever to set both land and water speed records in the same year. And we learned a lot. Mr. Campbell set a total of 7 world water speed records, the last on the 31st December 1964, reaching a speed then of over 276 miles an hour. Now, today, the date is the 4th of January, and it was on the 4th of January in 1967, that's 45 years back, that Mr. Campbell set out on Coniston Water in the Lake District with the stated intention of pushing that record to, and I quote him, at least 300 miles an hour, that very speed which Linda and I had heard about only a few days before in connection with traffic speed cameras. Very sadly, Donald Campbell died in his attempt to break his own water speed record when Bluebird K7 flipped over, disintegrated at a speed, at the time, in excess of 300 miles an hour. I was struck by the words of the chief observer of the event, the man that was actually recording the speed, himself the holder of 5 water speed records in his day. And these were his words. I think conditions were as perfect as I've seen them on Coniston, but Donald was going into the unknown. And those are his words. And I want us to think just a few moments of those words. Going into the unknown. Because as we enter another new year, we are each, every one of us, doing just that. We're going into the unknown. Now, probably some will recall the words which were quoted by King George VI just, 3 months after the outbreak of the Second World War. Words to which I referred here just 12 months ago. I quote him. Well, he was quoted. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That will be better to you than light and safer than a known way. Now, 12 months ago, I took my text from chapter 41 of Isaiah's prophecy. I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. And his promise holds as true for the coming year as it did for 2011. And a few years ago, I mentioned a well-known singer, songwriter, and a radio celebrity back in Hollywood in the 1940s. His name was Stuart Hamblin. Now, this man, in his heyday, he numbered John Wayne among his many close friends. He was noted, though, for his drinking and his gambling and his womanizing. But Stuart Hamblin was converted to Christ after hearing Billy Graham preaching in his very early days in a marquee. And following his conversion, Mr. Hamblin wrote many gospel songs, and one of the more famous carried the title Known Only to Him. And it includes the words, I'll fear not the darkness when my flame shall dim. I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. It's a secret known only to him. And it is a thrill as we enter 2012 for every Christian to share Stuart Hamlin's confidence. I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. But if anything, it is an even greater thrill for each Christian to have the confidence that when that time comes for him or her to leave this world, he or she does not step, does not go into the unknown. Because alas, that's just how many people do think of and speak of death as the great unknown. But for those who believe God's word, the Bible, death is anything but that. Because the Bible is very clear on the matter. And my death will mean my going either, in the Bible's own words, to be with Christ, to a place of bliss, place of glory, or to a place of judgment, a place of judgment which I would have to confess, by my actions and my thought life, I richly deserve. I've been thinking much the past few days of the words of the Apostle Paul. They were written shortly before his death, his martyrdom at Rome. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. For Paul, death was not the unknown. And it was not the unknown because as far as he was concerned, the one to whom he had entrusted his soul, his salvation, his eternal happiness, he, the Lord Jesus, that is, was not unknown. I know him, Paul says in effect, the one in whom I've placed my trust, my confidence, and I am persuaded, I am assured, I am utterly convinced that he is able, that he has the power to keep secure, to keep in perfect safety, to guard, as someone would, a valuable deposit, to keep that which I have entrusted to him, namely my eternal welfare, with a view to that day when I shall meet and shall face him. It was in the very same letter, as far as we know, the last that Paul ever penned, that he wrote concerning, and I'll quote him, the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Back in 1847, a Scottish doctor, James Young Simpson, later Sir James Young Simpson, discovered the anesthetic properties of chloroform. And I've read that when, almost 23 years later, Sir James was on his deathbed, a friend asked him, "Sir, what are your speculations?" "Speculations?" the good doctor replied, "I have no speculations, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day." We know where he got those words from. Much more recently, just 2 weeks this past Saturday, the Lord called home Doug Bick, who most, if not all of you, will remember well. Yesterday I was talking to Nigel Williams, who popped in just a little bit earlier. Nigel's a long-standing friend of Doug. And Nigel told me that when he saw Doug, not long before Doug died, Doug's very last words to him were, "It will be a wonderful awakening in the morning." Both James Simpson and Doug Bick shared both the faith and the confidence of the Apostle Paul, because both men and they were very different men, but both men could say with Paul, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. Thinking again of the words of the chief observer at Coniston Water, death, both for Dr. Simpson and Doug, was certainly not a case of going into the unknown. As for Paul, death was not the unknown, because the one in whom they had trusted and to whom they had entrusted their soul's salvation and eternal happiness, because he was not unknown. With our eye on the coming year, the question is, can we each say with Stuart Hamlin, I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. With our eye on the time when we must leave this world, can we say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Shall we pray?